Well, Frank Sinatra is famous for a lot of songs, but there's one song that almost everybody associates with him. I Did It My Way. Here are the words to that song. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now the tears subside. I find it all so amusing. To think I did all that, and may I say not in a shy way. Oh no, not me. I did it my way. And then these next lines, I think, are crucial. For what is man? What has he got if not himself? Then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way. Now that could be the national anthem of the world. Everybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. It is the national anthem as well as of everyone who has not kneeled, as Sinatra put it, who has not kneeled and submitted themselves to the Lord. The song sang loud and proud by the non-Christian is, I did it my way. King Solomon is also famous for a lot of songs and a lot of proverbs. Here's one of them that's recorded in Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. In other words, this is God's way. The Bible makes it clear that there are two ways to live, or two paths. There's the path of righteousness or the path of wickedness in the Psalms. There's the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness in the Proverbs. Jesus says that there is a narrow path which leads to life, and there is a broad way or path that leads to destruction. The narrow path of righteousness and wisdom, which is God's way, is to trust in the Lord with all your heart and acknowledge Him in all your ways. The broad way of wickedness and foolishness, which is my way or our way, is to lean on our own understanding. We can live God's way or we can live our way. And as someone has said, when we come to a decision, there are only two books on the shelf, God or self. And we've come to chapter 27 in our study of the book of Genesis. Would you please open your Bible to Genesis chapter 27? Every person we come across in this chapter did things their way, not God's way. All of them. Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. They all leaned on their own understanding and they didn't trust in the Lord with all of their hearts. In a sense, I think this is a depressing chapter. It's depressing. But there are things that we can learn from these examples, and they're negative, but we can learn from them. You might say that Genesis 27 is what happens when people don't do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. This is an example of it. And the point for you and me today is to avoid making the mistakes that they made. Or to turn that around and put it in a positive way, instead of trusting ourselves, we need to trust God. In this chapter, what we'll see is that Isaac plans to bless Esau. Rebekah and Jacob team up to steal that blessing or to take it by means of deception. And Esau becomes so angry after it happens that Jacob flees for his life. None of the four people, by the way, in this story are sympathetic. None of them. And they're not meant to be. Moses didn't write it that way. He didn't mean them to be sympathetic. But having said that, God's sovereignty shines through this chapter just as much as deception does. And that really is what the chapter is about, is deception. Chapter 26, verses 34 and 35, is a good introduction, and it's why I didn't read it last week. Why we didn't include it in the study last week or the sermon. Here's what it says. Genesis 26, 34 and 35. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, an unusual name, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Now, it is very possible that Esau's choice of wives here played a role in what happened in chapter 27. Both of the women were outside of the family, and both of the women were outside of the faith. It's another example of Esau's lack of spiritual awareness and perception. Now, evidently, these two women caused a lot of grief and a lot of aggravation and a lot of heartache for Isaac and Rebekah. Also remember that each of the parents had favorites. Esau was Isaac's favorite. Jacob was Rebekah's favorite. We need to keep that in mind as we move into chapter 27. First of all, we see that Isaac does things his way. He leans on his own understanding. And that may not be immediately apparent, but I hope it will be shortly. In verses 1 through 4, it says this. Now it came about when Isaac was old, and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he, that is Esau, said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold, now I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it back to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Isaac was trying to thwart God's will here. We shouldn't make any mistake about that. He had to have known the prophecy or the statement that God made in chapter 25, verse 23, especially the part that said, "And the older shall serve the younger." He knew that. Jacob knew that. He had to. The younger twin in this case, Jacob, would be served by the older, Esau. He had to also have known that Esau sold his birthright. He sold it to Jacob in Genesis 25, verses 27 through 34. A legal transaction. Remember, Jacob said, "Swear to me." And it says he swore to him. It was a legal contract. Regardless of whether he liked it or liked what happened or not between the two brothers, he couldn't have been ignorant of those two things. Isaac knew it was not the will of God to give Esau the blessing that the firstborn son deserved, even though he was the firstborn. But he made plans to do it anyway. He made the decision to violate God's will, to do things his way, to not do things God's way. He made that decision. Now, even though Isaac was old and he was basically blind, he still had all of his mental faculties. And I say that because he came up with this plan, didn't he? Yeah, he did. And we don't know why he thought he was dying also. He says, "I'm old and I'm dying." Well, something interesting in the chronology of the Bible is that the fact is, Isaac lived 43 years more after this. But when we read it and we don't know that, we think he's on his deathbed. He's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel and he's ready to go. And he wants to bless it. No, he's not. He isn't. He might have thought he was, but he isn't. Why was he so hurried? Why did he want to get this done so quickly? I think it's just that. He wanted to get this done quickly. Another thing to consider here is that fathers in the ancient Near East would normally gather all of their sons around them when they were on their deathbed to bless them publicly before they died. Jacob did that with his sons. Isaac wanted to do this in secret with only Esau, not Jacob present. Just between the two of them. And Isaac also had to know that a blessing like this one that he was planning on giving Esau was as legally binding as a written contract in the ancient Near East. Once he pronounced that blessing, it was irrevocable. It could not be taken back. Now, I think, too, he also might have been driven by his appetites. "Prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love." That's what got Esau into trouble. That's what is going to get Isaac into trouble. His appetites here. Isaac chose his way. He didn't choose God's way. Now, we'll get to him a little later in full, but don't look past Esau here too. Esau went along with his dad's scheme, and he didn't put up any resistance. But we'll get more to Esau later. So the application for you and me in this is, we should never seek to thwart God's revealed will. We should obey it. Now we know that, but we need to be reminded of it. That's what Isaac should have done, and that's what we should do. Do his will, not try to thwart it or get around it. When we trust him with our whole heart, we won't lean on and rely on our own understanding of things. There are times when we know God's will as it's revealed to us in his word. We know what it is and it's clear. And we're tempted to go directly against what we know it is. We will want to do something that we know is wrong. We'll be tempted to do things our way and not God's way. Well, we might be tempted when we have a chance to get an advantage on somebody, but it means that we have to cheat to do it. We may be tempted to hold a grudge when God tells us we need to forgive. We might be tempted to let someone have it with both barrels when God commands us to speak the truth in love. We might be tempted to slack off at work when the Lord tells us that we need to do our work as unto Him, because He is the ultimate master or employer. The Lord says that we should honor our father and mother. But we're tempted to say things like, I know that's a command, but you don't know my mom like I do, or you don't know my dad like I do. We might be tempted to say something that we think, or do something that we think will make us part of the group, but it's something that God says no to, clearly. The heart of all of these is that we think we know better than God, and that we think we should be able to make the decision for ourselves. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. Rather than allowing God to make the decision, this is what God says is right and wrong, we'll submit to that and we'll go with it, regardless. What they did is they said, we want to make the decision. And it's the same for us. We have inherited that sin nature, and we do the same thing. We want to trust ourselves and not Him. And every one of us is tempted to go against what we know is God's revealed will. Now, we know that, all of us. But what can we do about it? Well, we can pray that God would subdue our will and make it His will. That's one of the reasons that we pray. It's not necessarily to get things when we pray, but it is so that our will be conformed to His will. That's one of the reasons we pray. We can also pray that God would give us, that He would help us to see the beauty and the wonder of doing things His way, not our way. Now also, secondly, Rebecca does things her way. She leans on her own understanding in verses 5 through 17. Rebecca was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. That's verse 5, the beginning of verse 5. And by the way, just a note here, the word "was listening" in Hebrew means that this was not a happenstance. This wasn't something that happened once, in other words. This was a habit. Rebecca was something of an eavesdropper. She did this consistently. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebecca said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me 2 choice goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father, that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." There's a little bit of wordplay here. Yes, Jacob was smooth. He was a deceiver. He was not only physically smooth, he was slimy. Okay, also. "Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver," which is what his name means, "in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his father, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread which she had made to her son Jacob. Rebekah knew that Jacob was the son who would ultimately be blessed by God. She knew that, not Esau. She knew what God had said in chapter 25, that Jacob was chosen by God and Esau was not. But when she overheard God's plan, she panicked. She didn't trust the Lord with all of her heart. She leaned on her own understanding, and she came up with a scheme to try to make sure that what God had promised would actually happen. She put together a good plan. I think we have to admit that. It was very well thought out, and it worked. Now that leads me to believe, I think she had this plan in her back pocket, so to speak, for such a time as this, to use another biblical phrase. Isaac wanted to thwart God's will, but Rebekah wasn't willing to wait for God to work out his plan. She wanted to help things along a bit, just like the episode of Hagar in Genesis 16 with Abraham and Sarah. Rebekah took things into her own hands and thought, I can fix this problem. She chose her way, not God's. Now, what should she have done? Well, she should have prayed, first of all. You'll notice that she didn't seek the Lord here like she did when she was pregnant in chapter 25. She could have confronted Isaac about his plot, even though that would have been very hard for her to do. Most of all, though, she should have submitted herself to God and to the sovereignty of God. In other words, trust in the Lord with all her heart. Now, even if she would have done nothing at all, God's sovereign will would have been done with Jacob and Esau. We don't know how, but it would have been. Now, you and I need to be willing to wait for God to work out his plan. We need to submit to his sovereignty. That is the fact that he is in charge and we are not in charge. God promises to cause all things to work together for good for his people, which, by the way, is something that only a sovereign God can do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the good that God promises is going to happen by 5 o'clock tonight. The Lord promises to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 4. But it doesn't always happen immediately. You and I have to be willing to put something in God's hands and then leave it there. And that's hard, but we have to do it. Now, I don't know what that might be for you today, putting something in God's hands and leaving it there, a marriage, a friendship, a job, a future, your bills, a child, your health, a thousand other things. Whatever it is, we need to put it in God's hands and leave it there. Submit to God's sovereignty. Be willing to wait for him to work. And we need to resist the urge as best we can to help him out with it, which we'll want to do. Trust him with it. Not ourselves. Trust him. Then thirdly, we see that Jacob does things his way. He leans on his own understanding. In verses 18 through 29, then he, that is Jacob, came to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. "Get up, please sit and eat of my game that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." Isaac wasn't convinced yet. So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him and he ate. He also brought with him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Jacob went along with his mother's plan, and he blatantly deceived his father. Yes, he did ask some questions about Rebekah's scheme, but it seems that he was only concerned with whether or not his father would recognize him. And that would mess up the plan. He didn't seem to be bothered at all by the fact that this was a gigantic deception. Only whether or not he would get caught. He lied outright to his father when Isaac asked him, "Who are you, my son?" in verse 18. He answers by saying, "I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me," in verse 19. No, he wasn't, and no, he hadn't. He also kept the charade up all through this section as he deceived Isaac with what he had on his hands and on his neck and the clothes. It was a gigantic deception. He also, and this may be the most serious thing he did in this chapter, he blasphemed God in a statement that he made. Isaac asked him how he managed to hunt, kill, and prepare this meat so quickly. And it was quick. And Jacob then answers and said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." No, he hadn't. He took God's name in vain when he said that. He misused the name of God, which is extremely serious. Then he lied to his father again. "Are you really my son Esau?" How many times? That came up several times in this. "Are you really my son?" He said, "I am." Another outright lie. So what happened? Jacob and Rebekah's deception worked, so to speak. After a fashion, you could put quotes around "worked." He got what God had promised him the entire time. The blessing of the firstborn, which, by the way, is very closely related to the birthright in chapter 25. In verses 29 and 30, we see that he got that blessing. But here's the point with Jacob. Here's how he leaned on his own understanding. He did the right thing in the wrong way. The birthright and the blessing both belong to him. They belong to him. But he went about getting them without trusting God. In fact, what he did to get it was sin. He was trusting himself, and he was doing things his way, not God's. Now, for you and me, there are times when we think we're doing something good, and maybe we are doing something good, but it's possible to do it in a way that is wrong, in a way that doesn't honor God, in a way that doesn't glorify God. For example, it's possible for us to speak the truth, which is a good thing, in a way that hurts people, which is wrong. It's possible for us to be kind and compassionate and loving, and that's a good thing, but at the same time, never actually get around to telling somebody the truth, which would be wrong. It's good that we want to preach the gospel to people and to see them believe in Christ. That's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. It's the wrong way. We do it in the wrong way when we soften the edges of the gospel, when we water it down, when we only focus on God's love and we leave out our sin and God's wrath against that sin. Another example is, it's okay for a church to ask its members to give, but it's wrong to make them feel guilty if they don't. That's wrong. If you have an emotional experience when you're singing praise to God, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. That's good. It's good to be moved when we praise God. But it's wrong if it's manipulated and it's forced. That's wrong. Now, we need to seek wisdom from God on this, because it's not an easy issue. May God show us in our own lives if we're doing the right thing in the wrong way. Because when we do it, we're leaning on our own understanding and we're not trusting God. Then fourthly, Esau does things his way. He leaned on his own understanding. In verses 30 through 41, "Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting." There's a tremendous amount of anticipation in this, and really danger almost. It seems that almost, as Moses says here, it seems as if Jacob was just leaving and Esau was coming in the other, like the front door and the back door. It was that close. "Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me.' Isaac, his father, said to him, 'Who are you?'" Which is a good question. "And he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn, Esau.' Then Isaac trembled violently." Why? Because he knew what had happened. "And he said, 'Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate all of it before you came and blessed him?'" That's a rhetorical question. He knew that it was Isaac or Jacob. "Yes, and he shall be blessed." He resigns himself to that, and he said, "I blessed him, and he'll be blessed." "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' And he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing.' Then he said, 'Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' But Isaac replied to Esau, 'Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants. And with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son?' Esau said to his father, 'Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father.' So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold," and this is the blessing in quotation marks that he gives him, "away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck." So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." What he means by that is once Isaac was dead and they had had their time of mourning, he'll kill Jacob. Now Esau didn't trust God, and he did things his own way, and he reacted to everything in the way he reacted to everything that happened here. Now why did he react the way he did? And I think the reason is because Esau was godless and he was worldly. That's why. He didn't have any spiritual perception, and he had no interest in anything that was spiritual. He couldn't trust in the Lord with all of his heart. He was left to his own devices because of that. He said that Jacob had taken away my blessing in verse 36, but that wasn't true. He gave Jacob his blessing in chapter 25. In fact, at the end of chapter 25, it says he despised his birthright. He despised it. He went along with his father's scheme to thwart God's will. Esau cried in verses 34 and 38. But Hebrews 12, 16 and 17 tells us clearly that he never repented. He cried, but he didn't repent. Esau's hurt led to despair, and that despair led to hatred, and then that hatred led to revenge, or the thought of revenge, in this case, the thought of murder. And this is how the story concludes in 42 through 46. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called to her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, until your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of both of you in one day?" Meaning that if Esau killed Jacob, then a close relative, in many cases, would kill Esau. So they would both be dead. Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm tired of living because of the daughters of Heth," that is, the wives of Esau. "If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth or the Hittites, like these from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be?" The words of Sir Walter Scott, which were made famous by Tony Randall in the TV show The Odd Couple, fits very well here. "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." And this deception made the mess in that family even bigger. Jacob never saw his mother again after this point. Never. He lived his entire life and never saw her again. Jacob and Esau were estranged for about 40 years. So that thing about he'll get over it in a couple days, that didn't work. Jacob was deceived by his uncle Laban. In that case, a con man gets conned. And all of it was brought about because nobody in the family trusted the Lord with all their heart. Instead, they leaned on their own understanding. They did it their way instead of God's way. It's a sad episode in the life of God's people. Having said all that, though, God worked out his plan through this family that was messed up and this family that we would call today dysfunctional. Okay? Man's opposition, man's sin, man's failure, man's lack of faith can never stop God's purposes. And it didn't in this case either. As one commentator says, this account is another remarkable demonstration of God's ability to use the sins of men and women to accomplish his purposes and at the same time punish the sinners for their sin. What man intends for evil, God intends for good. Because who ultimately came from this line? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So for his glory and for our good, which one will it be for us? My way or God's way? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We praise you for who you are again. Lord, may we respond. May you show us how to respond. Show us the ways that we are not lean, or that we are not trusting in you with all of our heart, that we are leaning on our own understanding. And I pray that you would make those clear to us. May we repent of them, forsake them, confess it to you as sin, and then ask you to give us the power of your Holy Spirit so that we will trust in you with all of our heart, that we will acknowledge you in all of our ways, and then praise you when you make our paths straight and when you direct our paths. So, Father, we praise you that you give us not only positive examples from your word, but also negative. May we be the people that you want us to be. May we grow in Christ-likeness, Father, by doing things, by thinking, by speaking, by acting your way, not our way. And we pray in Jesus' name.